The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, we got all the bugs worked out, man. It was a disaster last week. We were freezing all the time.
Yep.
And then yep. Coach Lamb comes in for his podcast. We couldn't, the board was just off. Just wouldn't turn on again, so we had to get a different board.
I got a feeling this is going to go all over the place today, but yeah, I'm staring at the screen, and it looks like it's flowing, so that's the first thing. So the backup equipment, it's like at my house. You know, we've had a couple times through the course of the last 4 years where the power's gone out.
Mm.
We don't have a backup generator. So this is like this board here, it's like a backup generator. Kinda. And the reason I think about that is, shout out mother-in-law Sharon, she sent me a picture the other day, and she's like, hey, do you still want a backup generator? I'm like, of course I do. The thing is massive. She's like, well, we got it on this trailer. I'm like, let me make sure we can fit that somewhere. But point being is, you know, when the sound goes out, the audio, you need a backup, whatever those things are called, those kind of mixing boards. And then for me, it's like a backup generator at the house. Now, not to digress, but we're going to digress today.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those days.
Coach Lamb. Shout out Coach Lamb. Tuesday night golf league. He's my partner. You know, we're in B flight. He's a good golfer. I'm bad. I have now fallen back down to a 24 handicap, which is really demoralizing. I shot a 55 the other night. But the point of this is this. We're a team. We're a tandem. And it was the format on Tuesday was best ball. So, like, now I get pops and stuff. So, like, you got to factor the pops. Hopefully Shane's – we had to play against Shane and Grover. So, you got to factor the pops. But I was horrific. Like, even by my – it was the worst – I mean, it was bad.
Okay, when you say horrific, what are we talking about?
55.
Are you getting the ball in the air? Chipping it off of the...
I've gotten to the point where I'm playable.
All right.
I can play golf.
That's all I hope for.
And I can pull a couple holes out every now and then. Like, I'm, you know, the only thing I could do right the other night, though, like, my chip game was great. But I couldn't putt. And I certainly I couldn't drive. I was a mess. Coach Lamb shows up. He's, like, limping around. I'm like, are you good? He's like, oh, man. Last day of lifting with the boys.
Mm.
He's like, bad idea. He's like, I did the deadlifts. He's like, and now I got problems. And so, you know, with FERPAs and HIPAs, I can't divulge his injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he's locked up, man. He's hurting. And he grinded out those nine holes, and we held on to, I think we're like 10th place in that round. So right now, halfway through, that we are tied for 11th. Four-way tied for 11th. So we're one shot away from 14th. Ugh. But there's a four-way tie for 7th. We're one shot away from 7th place. So, hey, it all matters.
Man.
And so now, you know, you got to compete in everything, right?
Coach was telling me.
He's a tough guy, man. I'm telling you, Coach Lamb, he's a tough football guy.
Well, on the golf side, because I, of course, ask him occasionally. Yeah. I'm like, so Coach Smiley tells me he's really bad. Is that Brady bad, or is that, like,
he's
a good golfer but bad? And you know, Coach didn't pull any punches at first. But he's been updating me off the podcast. Yeah. Last week, we didn't have a podcast. We just spent time talking about golf.
Yeah.
And he said, Coach is starting to kind of figure it out.
No, he said,
you're starting to figure it out.
I could play, but I really fell off the wagon. Just weird things. Like, just things that hadn't happened the last 2 or 3 years with my swing, and which is fine. But Coach Lamb's actually like a real golfer. He plays quite a bit. He loves it. He's good.
Yeah, there's a guy.
He's good.
Rick. I don't know. He's a great dude. He and Coach Lamb know each other. We have kiddos on the spectrum, so we kind of connected at this Dad's Night Out thing a couple weeks ago. And this dude's a stud golfer.
Yeah.
I hear Ed's a stud golfer.
He's good.
And they're like, Brady, why don't you come out and golf with us sometime? Coach, I'm not kidding. You say you're bad. I'm just like, I can't get the ball in flight.
Yeah,
the thing.
No, I'm a whole different level than that.
Yeah,
I have a handicap. I can play in a tournament.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Which is really like, when you get to the point of at least being playable, man, it gets fun. And it's maddening. But at the same point in time, like, I look at, hey, I'm going to play once a week. If I get lucky twice a week, I'm going to play on Tuesday nights. And then if I can sneak out, you know, nine more holes, which typically is like with my wife, You know, we'll go like on a Friday night or Saturday night, you know, and it's course is open at that point in time. And she doesn't really play, but she just likes to drive around and hang out. Just great, great, you know, time for us too. And then my son, he's getting into it. And so now, like, kind of on his own accord. So now it's been like, okay, well, let's go out there and play a little bit. So I'll try to get 9 holes in. I very rarely play 18 unless it's like a tournament. I got a couple tournaments coming up, one on the 24th and then on the 27th. So I got some things coming up here. But I just don't have enough time to just it's like 4 or 5 hours.
You have to, to me, like, I've golfed maybe 7 times in my life, maybe yeah. 8. This is how it gets you. Terrible shot, and then you finally launch.
Yeah, one, yeah.
And then you're like,
it's fun.
Okay. I can see how this would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, too, like, when my kids get out of the house, like, you know, I got no garage space, but I'm factoring in, like, you know, my kids get out of the house. When their cars aren't there anymore, in theory, I could put one of those little simulators in the garage. And do I want to invest the money into that now? No. I have nowhere to put it. But when they're gone, maybe. And, like, that's like, get home, just swing.
You
got to
take advantage of that space.
You know, just swing 30 times a night, mess around a little bit. That's where you probably start just getting mechanically better. I just don't have it right now. But
this might be something to think about. The morning crew fellas, Tanner and Brian and a couple of Coach Bruce Dick, they are challenging random listeners. We go up to Back 9 in Timnath. It's a golf simulator.
It's awesome.
And so they've got next Friday, they just challenge random listeners that think they can take them. So we're going to do this. We ought to do something where it's like KFKA going up against, but you can't use the golf coach. KFKA going up against UNC coaches.
You bring that up too, because golf coaches, I know I'll miss some people, but I play. I say that with air quotes, but I do play. Lamb is really good. So Korsky, our golf coach, obviously is elite. I've never seen Coach Tina, his assistant, but I'm sure she's elite. But then after that, like, there's not as many golfers as you think on the staff, the administration, whatever it is. Klope on my staff is really good.
So can you field 4? Can you field 4?
Yeah.
We ought to think about this.
We might throw Sikorsky on there, but yeah, we can field 4.
we'll look at that.
And the reason I forgot about Coach Reed, because we got like a UNC coach's donation to play in this tournament on the 24th. So it's kind of UNC coaches. So that idea would be me, Klope, Reed, because Reed could play. He didn't play a lot, but he's actually pretty good. He was out of town, so okay, now we got to figure something else out. Sikorsky, so we got Sikorsky, and we built it from there. Lamb couldn't play. I feel bad because I know Shane's a big supporter of this, the podcast. And Shane's playing in the morning flight, 18 holes, and we say, hey, you want to play with us too? You got to play 36 holes. I'm like, you don't. We can find somebody. He's like, I'm in.
Well, so. I'm going to need some help because, you know, Shane stopped by like a week ago or so at Interior Sprinkler Systems. Yeah. And all these guys are like, Brady, we got to go golf sometime.
Yeah.
So I'm turning down these moments to connect with people, whatever that is. Because this is what Coach Lamb was saying about you. He's like, Coach Smiley doesn't care if he has a bad shot. He doesn't care. It's even Steven.
Yep.
You know, even Steven Smiley.
You have to.
You know, just you don't care. My problem is I'm like, oh crap, there's a group behind us. They're watching. Yep. I'm freaking out right now.
Well, there's a couple things to think about that. Okay. It's literally the hardest sport in the world. And if I'm gonna commit 2 nights a week max at 9 holes and really never go to the range, I'm not gonna get good. So you have to get to that realization, like, okay, let's stop taking this so seriously. Then it's like, let's have some fun. Then, like with Coach Lamb, the kicker is every hole is a different organism, right? So we're teammates. If I have a bad hole, just brush it off because he might need me the next hole, right? Because I get these pops. So it's like one of the most impressive things to me is like, let's think about volleyball, right? All right, 25 points. You just get – I don't know how Coach Oates does. It's like I've been enamored with volleyball with my daughter. You just get beat 25-6, just crushed. All right, it doesn't matter. Just hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
How do you – even though you've just been completely pulverized, and the same thing, you win 25-8. You're only up 1-0. You're not up 20 – you're up 1-0, right?
Yeah.
And that's always been a phenomenal thing to me too, is that it's not a running score. It's you got to win 3 of 5. And so, like, I think the psychology of how do you hit the – that's not us in basketball. If we're down 12 at half, we're down 12 at half. But how do you hit the reset button? So, for me with golf, and we do so much sports psychology stuff with our guys in the summertime. that I really try to embrace for myself too, like doing uncomfortable things, doing things that are hard, hitting the reset button. We just showed our guys, this is a great documentary on Netflix, Nadal. So Rafael Nadal, right? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Four-part series. It's all in Spanish. He barely speaks English still. So really, it kind of trails his career, but with the idea that to get to his final tournament, his retirement, it's awesome. But it goes back to when he played Federer. Federer beat him like five times in a row at Wimbledon on the grass, and Nadal owns the clay. And like the mental stuff, how do you, at like, it's I don't want to spoil it, but gets up 2-0, and then it just all breaks loose. Same thing, right? And so like, the sports psychology of this stuff is always fascinating to me. So, like, if I'm on a golf course, and literally I had some of the worst shots, things I hadn't been doing for a long time. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing wrong. I'm on a range for 20 minutes before, swing feels good. I'm like, this is going to be a big time night. And first hole, I'm like, that didn't go good. I don't know. Like, I'm in a good place mentally, but my mechanics are all screwed up. You just got to find a way through it.
You got to find a way through
it. Grind through
it. Again, that's what I hear about you on the golf course is it doesn't matter. And that's what I need. Like, I need the ability to just not care.
Yeah.
But care, but not care.
Yeah,
like, if I have a bad shot, okay, I want to get better, but I don't really care what anybody else is thinking.
Can't spaz out.
Yeah.
Can't spaz out.
Oh, I'm the king of that.
Yeah.
King of that.
No, I understand.
I need to get some, I need to get some lessons maybe or something like that. Coach, speaking of other sports, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but I got to tell you, man, I was not interested in the World Cup at all. I'm not a soccer guy. I've never really sat down and watched soccer. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I am having a really good time watching this.
It's really good. It's really good. You know, obviously, we're recording this on a Thursday morning. Last night was Team USA.
Oh, wow.
I as well would very rarely sit down for, you know, 90 minutes of action to watch soccer. I don't follow the players that much. I enjoy it. But the Team USA thing is as bad as it's been. Like, going back to it, it's like they haven't won a knockout round game since 2002. That's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got 2-0 in their group. I did watch that third game a little bit. They got beat, but they sat like nine of their best players.
It didn't matter, right?
It didn't matter. So it's like, okay, it's fine. So it's like, all right, let's see if we can get this done, or is it going to be tragic? So round of 32, and we're favorites over Bosnia. And, you know, I watched it last night as I was – prepping practice out and cutting some film. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Here's what I'd recommend for you on that. You got an Amazon Prime subscription?
I do, yeah.
Prime Video?
Yep.
All right. So the problem to me with soccer is that the best soccer in the world is in Europe, right? Premier League, Champions League. So, like, there's a massive time change. So if you're trying to watch, it's just hard. So what I would say is they've got a couple great seasons, All or Nothing on Prime. They have, I think, they have like Man City or Man U. They got one of the German teams. You'll really get into it, and like Pepe LaGuardia, like the famous coach, and he's in like it. You start watching that, Brady, you're gonna get into it.
Well, I've enjoyed even just kind of, you know, the stars that we've talked about in this.
Who are you following? What are you watching? Like, who are the stars?
Obviously, like, the names. The Norway dude is a stud.
Is that Haaland?
Haaland or something like that. Yep. Yeah, he's a stud. The French guy, Mbappe.
Mbappe,
he's ridiculous. But
Harry
Kane
had two goals.
Harry
right?
Kane two saved
US,
him.
U.S. got a couple guys now that are kind of just, you know, I'm going to butcher the name. Pulisic.
Sounds pretty good.
Something like that, yeah.
Sounds
then
good.
Then our guy last night that scored and then got that red card. Like, that's what was so fascinating. They've got 10 guys. They were a man down. That was what was so cool about it.
I had that feeling they were going to – I honestly felt like they were going to lose because they're with 10 guys, and you just felt like, okay, the broadcasters kept talking about they're in survival mode right now.
So cool.
And then they go score another goal. Mm-hmm. So, it's really fun just to kind of watch the – what I actually think is – my wife's watching it last night, and she's not really feeling it. But at the end, when they're playing Country Road, John Denver's Country Road, she's like, "Well, this is really cool."
It was
like,
cool.
They're all into it. But I told her, I said, half the fun of this game, at least for me, I don't understand about 70% of the calls and the red cards, the yellow cards. Why was that a tackle, but that one was illegal? Right. Half of it is just the rules are so different, and it's very much up to the who's officiating that game.
Yep.
There's a lot of and I know they're doing it unique for America, but the hydration breaks are very all of it's just really fascinating. The way they draw the lines on when you get the free kicks and all that,
right.
They have to go up. The referee's telling guys like, "Here's how you got to stand." He's almost coaching them to where they got to be, and if they move a little bit, draws another line. He like boxes them in.
It's fascinating.
At first, I used to make fun of it.
No,
now I'm kind of like, this is so out of my realm of sports watching that it's actually really entertaining.
Yeah, two of my favorite coaches, studying them as I kind of went through, like just watching some of the video stuff and the history of it, Sir Alex Ferguson, and the soccer people are going to kill me. He was either Man City or Man U, but there's this great book, and it's thick. And just talking about how, again, like how to run a team culture, it all translates. And then the Pepe book, and then there's another guy that was the famous coach. This is back at the Don Meyers day on the North Carolina women's soccer team, one of the most famous coaches of all time. And they won literally 15 straight National Division I championships. So there's a lot of correlations, you know, through all these sports, but these team things and like what's so similar to basketball and soccer is spacing.
Yeah.
There's spacing, angles, momentum, strategy.
That's a great point.
And that's what's so cool about it. You know, then, you know, there's so many other things I'm still trying to learn, you know, with the offsides. And what's really changed it too is replay, right? They have replay now too.
Yeah.
So it does eliminate some human error and some favoritism even from the rest. Now, like, okay, well, let's just go to the video. You're right. Mm-hmm. We scored the goal right yesterday, right? We scored the first one. It was going crazy. Sorry.
That was they so went back cool like, looking too. And they wondered if it went off the defender's foot first.
That's right. But. So there's just little things. But yeah, I mean, it's really fun. What's cool for us is our guys. We've always had some European guys that were really – like Kai Edwards. He's from the Netherlands. So, like, I mean, just die hard. And then we've had other guys. So I'm trying to think about some of these guys. Obviously, Theo Hughes in England. Well, now even a lot of our American guys, like Vincent Delano, our one of our point guards, he loves it. Hmm. And all these guys are following it, loving it, and Mbappe and all these. Like, so it's really turned into a big sport. So our guys are really into it right now.
It's like I'm looking at, because what is it, like the Olympics, right? It's every 4 years. Is that right?
That's right. Every 4 years.
I'm like, man, I'm already and looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, more important, I think, culturally than the Olympics for soccer, right? The World Cup feels way more.
Oh,
right.
You learn so much.
And the fandom.
The fans, the way they do their chants, and they like increase the rhythm of the chants as you get closer to the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things. And it sounds like America's done a really good job. Like, I don't hear a ton of complaints as far as
having
it here. You do hear a lot of people that are here from Europe or whatever saying, wow, I love this place.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of neat,
that's
too.
That's been cool. Yeah, it's
so
been really
there's
cool.
A lot of different things about this that makes it really
for
unique.
Sure.
So
for sure.
It's been fun. But as far as the basketball stuff, Coach, how's the team looking at this
stage?
Okay,
so today in just about an hour and a half, we'll get to meet, film, practice, and our final lift before 4th of July break. So we'll finish week 5 today. Then they get 4 days off for the break, which is much needed. You know, you got to be very careful about burning these guys out. Yeah, it's a new team. You got to install your system. You got to install your culture, your chemistry. That's not easy to do. You know, the only true test is the test of time. We can all look great in the first week, but man, can you consistently build things over and over? Trying to build bodies, trying to build skill sets, trying to build IQ, trying to build our team. Like, there's so much stuff, but it is just basically July 1st. And we don't play games till November, so you got to be careful. Like, you know, you can burn these dudes out so quickly. So we'll finish the 5th week today, take 4 days off, and then we have about not a full 3 weeks, but about two full weeks, week 6, week 7, then week 8 is a short week, get them out of here by July 22nd. Feel good about it. You know, guys are working really hard. I tell you, like, if I had to put this team in a nutshell today, and this is like an organism, right? It's like an amoeba. It's always, you know, shifting and shaping around. But I would say this: I love our skill level. Really encouraged by our skill level. I love our IQ. I think we have there's new things that can be fairly hard conceptually for guys to until you like you're in the system for a year or two. Guys are picking it up like quicker than usual, which is good. You can't get to trigonometry and calculus before you master algebra, right? And geometry. So, like, I always feel like, hey, man, like, ABC, not XYZ. Like, we're in the 8. But, like, I'll tell you what, our guys are, like, figuring stuff out quick. So, I think the IQ is good. The skill level is good. Got a really skilled team. I think that we positionally can have some size, like some real size, some length, some athleticism, some speed. We can be pretty explosive with this team. And we're not even fully here yet. Egan's been out for a little bit, dealing with a little foot thing. Campbell Bloggs, I haven't here yet from Australia. So, like, and those are two guys we think are going to be some of our best players in theory. So to not have those guys actively doing all the stuff the other guys are doing, the 12 guys, I'm excited, man. Like, I feel really good about where we're at. With that being said, so, well, what do you got to work on? A million things. But I think the biggest thing, like, conceptually would be the first thing is, you know, our transition defense has been horrific. And we play a lot of live. And you could play stuff in a half court, looks really good and, like, detailed. And we do that a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's a full court game. And so the transition defense, that would be our Achilles heel on the court right now. We got to get better at that. Our last scrimmage, which was a week ago, was just horrific. So, and then we're flying around, we're scoring, and maybe we're good on offense transitionally, but we're going to have to get a whole lot better. So we're spending time on that and, you know, every little, you know, kind of breakdown and big picture stuff. And then I would say the other thing that's even more important, very smart team, very skilled team, very quiet team, which I don't like. We've got to get much more verbal, vocal, you know, quiet gym's a losing gym, quiet team's a scary, however you want to say it, right? That, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to come in and play one game that's going to get revealed. We're at BYU. Well, they have like sold out 15,000 people there. Yeah. You want to be quiet there? You get run off the court, right? Like, it's not going to work.
So how do you coach that? How do you almost force a guy to get outside of that comfort zone?
Yeah,
being more vocal?
Well, a million things, but it's like, it's not what you teach. We can teach it, but it's not what you teach. It's what you emphasize. So for me, like one base drill, 4-4 Spurs closeout. Okay. Spurs closeout. And it's a great thing. You got to rotate around, whatever it is. It's nothing too crazy, but at the end of the day, it's like, there's three things. And it's D scoring with kills. So you're out there for like 115 or 130 with your team blue versus team white. Then we flip. If you get a stop on defense, you get a point. If you get three stops in a row, you get what's called a kill. If you get a kill, you get three bonus points. And everything we do is competitive. So you're trying to win. It's blue versus white. Then the emphasis of that is that we'll have these compete sections, about 5-on-5 sections. I've got like one of our student managers, Austin AT. He has access to the film. Every night he grades out who won the drills. And then he has a huge spreadsheet that flows on. And I change teams all the time. Well, my team is garbage, coach. No. We change the teams all the time. And so we have a running tab of who's winning or losing more of these days. 5-on-5 competition. So that's how you emphasize it too. But then on this drill, if you don't get a stick hand up, blow the whistle, dead, ding and stop. If you get beat outside, which is a cardinal sin for us, it's dead. But then if you don't talk. So these guys got to talk. So we're forcing talk. Oh, sorry, guess what? Billy didn't talk, blow it dead. And we don't have there's no discussion. You didn't talk. Okay, get back to it. But you're wasting time because that clock's running and running and running. So you do it there. You do it in film. You show them a film. Like, look, transition defense is point and talk. There's no audio. But if we can't see you pointing and talking, you're failing. So we're emphasizing it by the use of film. And then with our players, with their individual meetings, with our coaches, same idea. So it's hard. And then what we tell them too is like, it's like, guys, there's going to be 14 of you. We will only play 9 of you. If you don't talk, you will, like, that's a non-negotiable. If you are too quiet to talk, you will not play. So, all right, oh, didn't talk. Okay, line back up. Oh, didn't talk, line back up. And we do a million little things for that.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to the 50-point game, but the 50-point game is brutal. So it's like, all right, okay, it's O versus D, blue versus white. Okay, every time, and it's, you're dead. You can't dribble, right? So you're dead. So we're trying to pivot against pressure teams trying to light us up. And you got to get open. Like, you got to create a lead and get open. 1 point per pass. 5 points if you find a way to make a layup. But the ball can't hit the floor. So if guys are overplaying, cheating, you know, you cut to the rim, make a layup, great. And check it back up. And it moves. It's just straight chaos in the summertime. We didn't pull that one out yet. But the point is this. We're seeing their staff. If not everyone yells the score on offense, right? Boop, blow it dead. Sorry, didn't. Nope, now we flip and it's a race to 50. You didn't talk. You didn't talk. You're right, coach. So we do that. Before we scrimmage today, we're going pure pressure heavy ball layups. It's awesome. It's really simple. There's a heavy ball. We have to make 12 in a row on the right because there's 12 guys, 12 in a row on the left. There's a heavy, there's a pad. DG, Coach Green, he's got to hit him with a pad. Not crazy, but just a little bit of, you know, hey, folks on the finish, not the pad. So there's a little bit of that. But there's rules too. The guy making the pass on the inbound, you have to call names. The guy calling for the, you know, that's running in for the pass, you got to call names. Every other player, and I'm not even watching the action. I'm watching the line. Coach Reed's watching the line. If every player doesn't yell score, 1, 2, boop, sorry, I didn't talk. And as soon as it happens one time, lineup run. Oh, these guys hate it. It's not hard. You got to talk. But again, there's ways that we're trying to force emphasize. But naturally, I mean, you've known some of our guys. Quinn Danker naturally is really loud. He had no issues with that. But we've had other great – Dalen Koontz, great player, naturally more introverted, so we've got to pull it out of him, right? We've got to embrace everyone's personalities. They all work. We don't need everyone to be – right? You got to have different personalities.
Yeah.
But I do believe a quiet gym is a losing gym. So that's one thing that we got to fight that. We got to get better at it. It's definitely there.
So when we had talked about this months ago or maybe a month ago, just kind of what you were searching for in that leadership role too, and I would imagine those things kind of coincide, being vocal and being the one of, or if not the main leader of the as far as the roster goes.
Yeah, and I'll say our guys, especially starting with returners, are doing a great job, man. Delano, Arik, Egan. Now Egan's been frustrated because he's been out for a little bit as we're rehabbing him, but he's doing a great job of leadership. Those three guys played real minutes last year, right? So it kind of starts with them. Then Ramirez, who redshirted, but it's going to be a big piece. This Tanner Burkita, Hunter Caldwell. Those six guys, I think, are really trying to embrace the verbal, the vocal part of this. And then you don't know what you're getting with the new guys. A guy, Andrew Crawford, has been such a pleasure in the sense of his vocal. Like, oh, geez, I always had the perception when he was at Thunder Ridge High School before he went to CU that maybe a more quiet guy. No, great. Like, he'll be vocal. He'll be verbal. Rayfield from UTSA really started to get vocal and verbal. And there was just a couple of examples coming to my mind. So it's getting there, but it's an urgency. Like, yo, Jeremiah Hammond, young guy, true freshman. Usually those guys are pretty quiet, which is totally fine. They just kind of get out of their shell. They're kind of tipping in the water, like, what? They don't know what's going on. And part of the reason guys don't talk early on is they're just trying to process what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much they're probably.
So, you've been our practice, so it's like, okay, what are we doing? And I'll hold them up. All right, here's the deal. Okay, we're going 2-on-2 on the right side. We're back to white coverage, 2-on-2. Everyone's got to go over the top. Okay, you only crack if you get bent. And then on the left side, let's go 3-on-3. We're going to raise. Remember, razor means tag, but we're in a white coverage, and we're going to go win the possession, scoring 115 on flip sides. And I'll be over here, and they're like, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And so like, there's no like, okay, now let's get to no. Like, we're not dipping toes in the water, and so it is messy. It's gross. It's chaotic, and I love it. But there's ways to get them to talk. But at the end of the day, it still has to be an individual choice. And at the end of the day, that is a non-negotiable. If you don't talk, I can't hide you because our system is too much connection and communication. And there's a million ways to do it, but you got to talk.
So as far as your system too, I mean, we've talked about this in the past where, it's going to – you have to be a high IQ basketball player.
Yeah, for sure.
Both offensively and defensively, especially in this system. For guys that come in, freshmen, what is the first day like? Are you giving them paper? Are you giving them plays, a playbook kind of thing to study? Or how does
no
that?
No playbook yet. We have an offensive and defensive system, and it's all on paper. We don't give that to them until the fall. Kind of let them fail first. Like, we had trans and switch defense. That's all I showed them from the scrimmage last week. And I did take out of our system, but you call it our playbook, defensively. And we have about 6 or 7 key points on trans D, 6 or 7 key points on switch defense. So I cut and paste those, put those up on my video presentation before we get to the clips. Like, yo, just remember, like, but I don't want them to have that yet. But they'll get that in time. Offensively, no. Right now, it's like we're just throwing them a million different things. We have all the stuff, but it's like I don't want to give them, the cliff notes yet. I don't want to give them the cheat codes yet. We have notebooks. You should be writing this stuff down. Like, all right, we're in film. Like, I drop a line. Okay, like, all right, if we're in this family right here, low series. All right, you got to sing yourself up. All right, now we're in the swing series. Okay, now swing can go to flip. And so, like, I want to force them to learn before I force feed them all the answers.
I think people that watch basketball, even diehard basketball fans, have no clue how much study goes into. Just the things that you're running, even if you're not running a set play every time, but there's still vocalization going on everything that you're doing offensively, especially defensively.
And there's different ways. And another guy, seemed like Tramble, Keontae Tramble, he's pretty loud, but he's trying to figure things out too. So like, we were doing an early offense 5-on-0, and he was in a group. There's a group ahead of him, so he's coming down, and it's like, if it's an empty, it's got to be a twist. Well, in that group, we had Rayfield at the 5, right? We have guys moving around positions. We're trying to learn them, so many different ways. That's not what Caden does, but he could be a 5 if guys got hurt. And so it's like, all right, the group ahead of him, if it's empty, the guy twisted. Well, in this one, we came down, Tramble came down, and Caden set it to the middle, and it was empty, and he just let it happen. I'm like, no, like, Keontae, you saw the group ahead of you, right? You have to be the one, as he comes down, he might have been the four in the group before, he might not even know, but you got to be the one to verbally and vocally say, twist it, that, but that's communication. So it opens up all the stuff to the system. If you don't twist it right now, you go to the middle, that's where all the congestion is. Twist it so we get to the right spacing. So, but again, it's like Keanu, he's actually really extrovert. He'll talk and all this, but he's like, he's just trying to process the stuff too. It's new, right? It's a new system. It's hard. So I think about Jaron really, a million ways to learn the stuff, but it's like, you know, Jaron was naturally not crazy loud, but he was a leader, right? And I think back to like how to learn the stuff. You know, he was the guy that kind of brought us this one structure that we stole, the swing and play, flip and play stuff. And it's crazy now. So I just finished up this. Well, there's still more work to do, but I finished up the next phase of my offseason project, which was watching the best teams and the best pressure situations in the world. I started with the Final Four. The two Final Four games and the National Championship games. Not just because they're the best four teams, but there's pressure. You lose, you go home. Mm-hmm. Then I went to the Australian NBL. Games 4 and 5, which were elimination games in the NBL. And then I just finished the EuroLeague, which was the Final Four in the championship. And all these structures, watching all this stuff. And Jaron brought this stuff to us. Well, the other day, Jaron texted me. I was like, hey, coach, can you send me the Zip 2 series? I want to look at that with my coaches. I'm like, what? So, like, stuff that we do. So we do all this low series, Zip 2, Zip 3, whatever it is. But, like, going back to it, and we've just slowly incorporated this with our stuff. But a Zip 2, now, there's 9 variations of that eventually. Like, our team, here's what Zip 2 is. But for Jaron, he's like, hey, send me all of it. Zip 2, Zip 2 pop sucker, Zip 2 bait, Zip 2 duck, Zip 23, Zip 2 goes to the 3, turns into shallow. All these different things. And it's fun, man. It's fun to look at all this different stuff. But he was so cerebral. He understood the stuff. The sooner you understand the stuff, and then we all learn it at our own different, you know, paces, but our job is to urgently teach our guys how to learn the crap because we don't have 4 years. We have 4 months, right? Yeah. So now a guy like Jaron, his IQ is like through the roof. I don't know what a perfect IQ is, but it's got to be close, you know? So he could see it once. Yeah, I got you, coach, easy. Other guys, it might just take more time. So, you know, before you can get really vocal and loud, you got to feel comfortable. And the only way to feel comfortable is to learn what the heck's going on.
You got
to
know your side of it, but kind of backwards and front.
Yeah, so we got to fill these bullets first. You know, we got to fill these bullets, and we have to feel failure. Oh, sorry, I didn't talk. Oh, you guys lost because you didn't talk. Line up, guys. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, and then like body language comes into play, right? No, we're not doing it. Like win the possession. Like let's move on to the next thing because if you're living in the past, you might lose the next drill. And guess what? Tonight, Austin, he's going to grade the next. You need to win the next drill.
Yeah.
Because we're tracking all this stuff. Who are the winners and losers, right? And so, like, there's just ways to kind of throw the stuff at the guys.
It's a lot that goes
and
into it.
At the end of the day, it's still a game, right? Like, it's a game. And you got to have fun with it. And we have a lot of fun with it. Our guys, I think they love the way we do it. We play a lot. But, no, we're going to measure and chart. And there's different ways to skin the cat. But teaching talk, that don't matter. It's not what you teach. It's what you – if we don't emphasize it, mm-hmm. demand it, drag it out of them, because this is a naturally a little bit more quiet team. We got to get there for sure.
You mentioned, and I was just thinking of this. Jaron really reached out to you and was asking for different concepts. How often do you get a lot of these stud players that are playing professional basketball, but will reach out to you once in a while and say, or maybe they don't. I don't know. But is it like, hey, coach, wow, these concepts you really had, really helped us in our career.
Now the Jaron, like, hey, coach, can you send me the Zip 2 pet? That never happens.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. But, I mean, he's on just a different wavelength of – he's the guy to say, coach, let me show you this. This is how we were doing this in early offense and all stuff anyways. Like, I think we can turn this into this structure. This, and we did. We still are. Yeah, let's do it. Let's try it. And he had to bring – and he brought a bunch of film with it. And they call it reverse in Australia. They call it reverse.
How rare is it that to have never a player happens like that?
I mean, never.
To come and bring you stuff and film stuff.
Right. But guys that will come back, like Dalen was here the other day and was at practice, and he's like, yeah, guys. He's like, literally, he watched practice. He's like, literally, guys, the way that we practice over there in the pros is the same that you guys are doing. Like the same stuff. The pace, the, you know, the demands, the 5-on-5. And we do some 2-on-2 to 3-on-3. I've gotten to the point in time where for the most part, I don't just, okay, let's go 2-on-2 and let's do a skill. I want to take all the breakdown type of stuff, you know, and put it in a compete package. All right, guys, say we're going 3-on-3 to 4-on-3 to 4-on-4 to 5, and they know it's like a it's a package. To just 3-on-3 and it's fine. And sometimes you have to do that. I want to find ways to compete. If we got to break it down, which you do sometimes, let's do it quick. Let's get to the point. Let's figure it out. I think that's a great way to do it, and I think our guys really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to listen to this. There's a lot of terminology that goes with it. It's not just, you know, who's the better basketball player.
There's so many things.
And you talk about space and going back to our World Cup chat. All this stuff is to find ways to create that space.
Well, I know this too. Like this, I stole from Coach Linder philosophically. Like, you know, you're in the staff meeting in January, February. Saying, man, we're just not getting back in D. Which that can happen. Like, man, we got to work on trans defense. And he'd always be like, you know, if we haven't gotten it through to them in January, February, that's on us. That's for the summertime, right? Like, that's for the June, July, September, October. Like, we're building the structure, the foundation, the base. And it seems crazy. It's like, you really need that much time? Some of these teams, like, you know, Team USA gets 14 days to put a whole thing, right? I get it. But, like, on the flip side, these are 18, 19, 20-year-olds. They're expected to perform at a high level. And most of them are new. So, like, the summer's become more relevant and critical than ever. I think so. Yeah. Like if you haven't established talking, like this team doesn't talk, like team's not talking, that's on us. We failed. You're not fixing it then, you know? So we are trying to build those structures now. And the one thing we always tell our guys, we don't teach effort. I'm not coaching effort. If you can't play, you're just not going to play. And really like, yeah, like you'll still pull things out and feel, hey dude, that's not good effort. But if we're like, teaching a guy how to play hard, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like if we're wasting our time coaching a guy to go to class, then I've been a bad recruiter. Let's get guys that go to class intrinsically so I don't need to waste time and manpower and coaching on a golf cart, class checking. And a lot of teams do that, but we don't do it, right? Now, when a red flag pops up, we're going beyond that. Like, okay, oh, you haven't got a class? Like, we got issues. But I think giving the guys some trust too and saying, hey, like, we're not going to coach effort. Now, obviously, when body language is like, hey, dude, I'm just telling you, if you don't fix this, and the ultimate punishment is the bench, yeah, right?
Right.
It's the bench. Like, you can't play everybody. And that's like, that's you want to challenge me on this? Okay, well, there's a bench. I can only play. You've eliminated yourself from the equation.
It's a powerful tool because they want to play basketball.
Yeah,
that's
what we're here to do. Right. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, like, just that little, you know, you busting through some of that terminology. I'm thinking, yeah, it makes sense to have the entire summer, you know, the summer and all those months leading in because there's a lot to cover.
And again, I go back to my original statement too. I can't burn the guys out because you start working on stuff and all these weeds pop up in the grass. Right. We're fertilizing the grass. Right? Oh my gosh, look at how bad this is. Oh man. And it's like, okay, it's still the summer. We can't burn these guys out. And that's why having restrictions on you can only have 8 hours a week with these guys anyways. So you look at it like, oh, man, we need to practice. Like, no. So it's like it's a practice day, a skill day, a practice day, a scrimmage day. That's how we do it. Well, that practice is bad. Throw away the skill day. No. Practice skill, practice scrimmage. Because I want to hit multiple things. I want to hit the skill work. And we do that every day anyways. You've been to our practices. But they were fully skill work where they're not braced and padded. A short practice, a skill day, a short practice, and then let's play.
Yeah.
One, because it's fun. Two, because we get all that data, all that film, all the statting. We stat our analytics, our secret sauce, and so we're teaching them through that too. There's a method behind that madness.
Well, I'm always enlightened just to listen to a little bit of this, and still want to try to get out to a summer practice at some point here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We go through it until July 22nd.
We'll try. We'll figure something out because I definitely I thoroughly enjoy it. It's kind of like watching practice. To be honest, it's kind of like watching the World Cup, Coach. I don't know what I'm seeing most of the time when you guys are yelling, going through different things, and I just know, hey, this is the building blocks of a team, and it's always fun to kind of see early on.
Yeah, it's just the start of the journey. But as we all say, you know, whatever, journey of what, a million steps or whatever, a million miles, 10,000 miles starts with a single step, right? Every step matters. And as I told our guys, you know, today's our 20th practice. After today, 3 weeks left, four per week, there's only 12 left.
Yeah.
And actually, we're only going to go 3 days. And so it's like, this is called, we only have 10 opportunities to be together on the core as a team left in the summer. We gotta use these. Can't waste 3 days because, you know, we're tired. No, like, we gotta use these. And I think when you start having that urgency, that it starts to bleed through the guys a little bit too, and it's a great thing.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Before I let you go, man, a big day for me tomorrow. I know we're talking athletics and great challenges.
Is it corn dogs or hot dogs?
Hot dogs. Hot dog eating contest. I've always wanted to do it. It's my first ever eating contest, and it's a way different thing. We're talking about great athletes, World Cup, UNC Bears basketball. And then there's the hot dog eating contest.
You could set a standard. Now, off record, you were hoping for four. I was disappointed.
Goal. Now you thought it should have went up.
We got to go for six.
Okay, six
and,
is the
six
goal.
Six and ten. Whew. And, you know, like, think of, you know, moving forward, big city, right?
Yep, big city roadhouse.
Maybe to make another, like, wrinkle on it, which might even make it harder to eat the you know, the things, go to the semi-pro movie. Maybe it's a corn dog. We got corn dogs, Jackie. Maybe we got to get to you know, like a little wrinkle on it.
We'll try something new. We'll go with just different things.
You feel like the corn dog, I think it'd be harder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of that, whatever that breading is on
it. The breading and then the stick and everything, you're going to run into trouble there because you never know what's going to happen.
Now we're unique.
Yeah.
So, hey, but I am thoroughly excited. I'm going to try to get out there. My brother's coming to town, so we'll see what time he gets in. But you said 1 o'clock?
Yeah, so we're going live with the whole show out there at 11. And then you met Tanner and one of our other guys, the dude down the hall there. They're going to actually broadcast this thing like it's a sporting event. So
on video or audio?
Audio, but probably audio. Might film it too.
We do need film, like even if it's on like an iPhone.
We're going to do something. But my guy Brian Gary back there, and you've seen him. He's a bigger guy than me.
Yeah.
He's challenged me. We got we could only do 10 people, so we got 10 people competing, and of course two station guys.
There's 10 people in this.
There's going to be 10 people.
Wow.
In this
okay, this is like a thing.
This is a thing.
10 people. Yeah, oh, this wow.
And it's how many hot dogs you can eat in 10 minutes.
Hey, Greeley in Northern Colorado, get out to Big City, 1 o'clock on Friday. It's the start of the 4th of July weekend. Good people out there, and you get to see Brady consume a minimum of four, but ideally six hot dogs in 10 minutes.
If I can, so some of the dudes I've seen are pretty big dudes too. So, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm in on this." Yeah, like, they were eager to jump in on this.
Just look at Joey Chestnut, though.
That's
like,
true.
Hey, man, like I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
Have you studied techniques?
No.
You need to.
I haven't done any practice. I mean, I had hot dogs last week.
But you got 24 hours studying. Yeah. There's got to be something there.
There's got to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. This is my base. We'll see what the base is.
What an American
you know,
tradition.
You could be looking at the future, Joey Chestnut, right here, Coach.
Yeah, hey.
I mean, you're going to be like, man, I knew that dude win.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this might be the new thing.
This could be a big deal.
Okay, let me know.
All right, my friend. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week. Happy 4th of July to you, my friend.
Go Bears.
The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!